In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
It's always nice when Orthodox Mother's Day falls on Mother's Day, because the Sunday of the Myrrh Bearers is Orthodox Mother's Day in my book, because the myrrh-bearing women were our mothers. And so when these two occasions coincide, it's very nice. Now, this also happens to be the week that we got word that Roe versus Wade is likely to be overturned. And this is something that Orthodox Christians and other Christians have been praying for most of my life. And so may God grant that it actually happens. But I think it's an occasion where we should contemplate the contrast between the biblical view of motherhood and fatherhood versus the view that the devil would like to distort that we see in the culture of death that surrounds us. In Genesis chapter 1, when we read about the creation of man, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Man is in the image of God, and as image bearers, we're called to truly reflect that image and to be like God in as much as it's possible by God's grace for us to do so. And we're told that God made man male and female, and so as such, men and women have different roles, but we have equal dignity, and there's different ways, because of these roles, that we sort of reflect the image of God, and we need to understand what it is that we're called to be. Men are called to be providers and protectors, to not only provide for their own, but to protect those that are weak. We're called to be a defender of orphans and widows, because we're told in Scripture that God is the provider and protector, and he's a father to orphans and a husband to widows. So men are called to be like that, to emulate God in that respect. Men at their most noble will lay down their lives for others, and the prime example that we have of biblical manhood is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Women are called to be givers of life. In Genesis chapter 3, we're told, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." And in the Greek Septuagint, they translated Eve to the Greek word for life, Zoe. So that's one of the reasons why Zoe is a Christian name. That's the Greek form of Eve. But we could translate that as he just named her life. That's what women are called to be. The givers of life, the mother of the living. We all have a special relationship with our mothers, and it's not like anything else. Now, I know some of us have had less than ideal relationships with our mothers, but for most of us, there's no other relationship that's the same. And I can tell you that when you lose your mother, you only have one relationship that will be quite like that, and you'll know it when you lose her. Literally, every cell in our body is powered by mitochondrial DNA, which we inherit from our mothers, 100%, not from our fathers. So literally, our mothers gave us life, but they continue to give us life all of our life. The devil always tries to take that which is good and beautiful and to turn it on its head and to pervert it and make it into a mockery of what God had created it to be. And you see this most clearly in the culture of death that was reflected by the Roe versus Wade decision, which made abortion on demand the law of the land. And it's interesting that people who normally will say we need to be more like the Europeans, when it comes to abortion, they don't say that, because you go to any Western European country and their abortion laws have always been far more restrictive than the United States. There are states in the United States where you can get abortion up to the moment of delivery, and there are laws being proposed, even as we speak, to decriminalize infanticide. And so we, for many years, pro-lifers have tried to point out the hypocrisy of saying it's murder if you kill a baby 1 minute after birth, but it's not murder if you kill it 1 minute before birth. But instead of convincing these people that they need to mend their view of abortion, they've just decided to extend their concept of death beyond birth and to basically say that you got a 90-day trial period with your baby. You can decide whether you want to let it live or not. This is sheer insanity, but this is what our country is doing. Unlike Western European countries, which normally we're told are the people that we need to be like. But the culture of death combined with the sexual revolution, which went hand in hand with that culture of death, these things have done a great deal of damage to turn, and they've turned what it means to be a man and a woman on its head. Men who've embraced this culture of death and the sexual revolution have, instead of being the providers and protectors that they're called to be, have often become shirkers of responsibility. Instead of being a father, not only to their own children, but to orphans, they've made orphans of their own children by their absence from the home. Women who've embraced the culture of death, instead of being mothers of life, have become mothers of death. And instead of being the hub of the wheel of their family, as they're called to be, they've destroyed their own families in the womb. The devil promises life, liberty, and happiness, but what the devil actually delivers is death, slavery, and misery, and we need to see it for what it is. And when we oppose abortion, we don't oppose abortion because we're trying to take away other people's liberty. We're opposed to abortion because it's A, evil, and B, because it will destroy the people who engage in it, not just the babies, but the people who fall into these sins destroy themselves. Of course, there's always forgiveness, and we need to make sure that people understand that these are not unpardonable sins, but these are sins, and we need to be clear about it. Men and women of the church are called to be the ideal. We're called to be like Christ. We're called to be like the Mother of God for the women in the church. These are the examples that are held before us. In the early church, there was a catechism that was orally spread and is often referred to as the Two Ways. And there's a very early Christian document called the Didache, or the Teaching of the 12 Apostles, which contains the Two Ways, and so it's worth you reading it. But you also, if you read the Epistle to Barnabas, you'll find that it almost repeats the exact things in the same order, although they're not entirely the same because these things were passed on orally. But they're obviously from the same source. So we're talking about an apostolic catechism. And let me read you a little bit of it. There are two ways, one of life and one of death, but a great difference between the two ways. The way of life, then, is this. First, you shall love God who made you. Second, love your neighbor as yourself, and do not do to another what you would not want done to you. And of these sayings, the teaching is this: bless those who curse you, and pray for your enemies, and fast for those who persecute you. For what reward is there for loving those who love you? Do not the Gentiles do the same, but love those who hate you, and you shall not have an enemy. Abstain from fleshly and worldly lust. Then it goes on to expand what it means to love God. But then it starts to talk about the second commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. And the second commandment of the teaching, you shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit pederasty. You shall not commit fornication. You shall not steal. You shall not practice magic. You shall not practice witchcraft. You shall not murder a child by abortion, nor kill that which is born. And it goes on further. I would recommend that you read this, but that the church believes that abortion is murder is one of the most unambiguous teachings that there is. And what the apostles taught was there are two ways, one of life and one of death, and each of us has to choose which way we're going to walk in. And as the prophet Moses says in Deuteronomy, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Amen.